We continue our verse-by-verse study through the book of 1 Chronicles today, and we come to 1 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 1, and we will go through chapter 19 as well. And Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, 1 Chronicles chapter 18. Looking at David and his reign, his victories, his officials. And we begin in verse 1. It says, in the course of time, David defeated the Philistines and subdued them. And he took Gath and its surrounding villages from the control of the Philistines. The Philistines are a long time nemesis of the Israelites. Always seemed to be a threat to them. And David, actually, before he became king, while he was being chased by Saul all those years, dwelt among the Philistines and actually helped them in some battles. But here he defeats them. And then verse 2, David also defeated the Moabites, and they became subject to him and brought tribute. And that was something that God promised, that if his people would be true to him, that he would make their enemies their servants. And so we see that happening under the reign of good King David. 3. Moreover, David fought Hadadezer, king of Zobah, as far as Hamath, when he went to establish his control along the Euphrates River. David captured 1,000 of his chariots, 7,000 charioteers, and 20,000 foot soldiers. He hamstrung all but 100 of the chariot horses. And so this was a major victory for David and the Israelite army to capture all these chariots. I mean, that was high-tech equipment back in those days. And all the horses and all the chariots. And he hamstrung all but 100 of the chariot horses. That would pretty much make them useless. In fact, it would make them useless as far as being in the military is concerned. And somebody might say, well, why would David do that? He had all these horses and he hamstrung them. Why didn't he, put them in his army and use them? That would really strengthen his military. Well, I think God had warned the Israelites and any future kings that they might have not to trust in a strong military. And perhaps David did that for that reason, so that he wouldn't be tempted to trust in the military instead of God. Verse 5, when the Arameans of Damascus came to help Hadadezer, king of Zobah, David struck down 22,000 of them. So his enemies and their allies were just defeated. God was fighting for Israel. He put garrisons in the Aramean kingdom of Damascus, and the Arameans became subject to him and brought tribute. The Lord gave David victory everywhere he went. And he could do no wrong because he was putting God first. And the Bible says if we seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, then all these other things will be added unto us. And here's a good example of that right there. Verse 7. David took the gold shields carried by the officers of Hadadezer and brought them to Jerusalem from Teba and Kun, towns that belonged to Hadadezer. David took a great quantity of bronze, which Solomon used to make bronze, the bronze sea, the pillars, and the various bronze articles. And so these things were the spoils of war, and God's people then put them to good use. And it was part of the blessing of God. The Bible says that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. 9. When Tou, king of Hamath, heard that David had defeated the entire army of Hadadezer, king of Zobah, he sent his son Hadoram to King David to greet him and congratulate him on his victory in battle over Hadadezer, who had been at war with Tou. Hadoram brought all kinds of articles of gold and silver and bronze. And so David indirectly did this king of Hamath, did him a favor by defeating by defeating David's enemies. And so David has made some friends here. Verse 11, King David dedicated these articles to the Lord, as he had done with the silver and gold he had taken from all these nations, Edom and Moab, the Ammonites and the Philistines and Amalek. So God, or I should say David, gives credit where credit is due, and that is to God. He knew that God is the one who gave him victory over these enemies, and many of them had very strong armies, and as we saw, well equipped. And so there's only one explanation for that, and that's God. And so the spoils of the wars belonged to God, and he made sure that they were dedicated to him. And it was his way of saying thank you. And it's very important to acknowledge God and answer to prayers by saying thank you. And it says in verse 12, Abishai, son of Zeruiah, struck down 18,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. He put garrisons in Edom, and all the Edomites became subject to David. The Lord gave David victory everywhere he went. And the Edomites, they were south of Israel, and they were descendants of Jacob's brother Esau. So they were sort of like the long-lost cousins of the Israelites, but they sure were another group that were nothing but a thorn in the side of Israel. And, you know, Esau and Jacob as brothers, they fought most of their life, and their descendants, you know, kept up the old battles for years and years. They never did get along very well at all. Verse 14, David reigned over all Israel, doing what was just and right for all his people. So David was close to God. He put God first. And of course, when you put God first, naturally, as a byproduct of that, you're going to be fair and kind to other people as well. And that was the case. And he was a godly leader, and so he was a good leader. 15, Joab, son of Zeruiah, was over the army. Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was recorder. Zadok, son of Ahitub, and Ahimelech, son of Abiathar, were priests. Shavshah was secretary. Benaniah, son of Jehoiada, was over the Kerethites and the Pelethites, and David's sons were chief officials at the king's side. So David needed help to run the kingdom, and he delegated authority to these officials. Can't do everything by yourself, and God has established authority in the world, and he expects things to be done decently in order, and he wants people to participate, and he wants leaders to bring together trustworthy helpers and let them get involved as well. Let's go into chapter 19. In the course of time, Nahash, king of the Ammonites, died, and his son succeeded him as king. David thought, I will show kindness to Hanun, son of Nahash, because his father showed kindness to me. So David sent a delegation to express his sympathy to Hanun concerning his father. So David, being a kind and sensitive type person, his buddy, the king, Nahash of the Ammonites, he died, and David was showing sympathy for his son who had succeeded him, and so he sent a delegation to express the sympathy of the king. I mean, it was all done in sincerity and kindness. But will you notice the last part here of verse 2? It says, when David's men came to Hanun, and that's the new king, in the land of the Ammonites to express sympathy to him, the Ammonite nobles said to Hanun, Do you think David is honoring your father by sending men to you to express sympathy? Haven't his men come to you to explore and spy out the country and overthrow it? Now, there was absolutely no reason at all for them to suggest such a wicked thing about David. None. There was no evidence at all that David was insincere in showing his sympathy. And yet they planted this poisonous seed in the new king's mind. And he's young enough that he's going to probably run with it, or he's young enough and inexperienced enough and maybe a little bit unsure of himself where he's going to listen to this terrible slander against David. And this is going to lead to a lot of bloodshed. And notice, slander and the damage that it can do. One thing leads to another, and one evil to another. And that's exactly what's going to happen. But there is no reason at all for them to slander David like this. Not at all. So look at the new king's response, verse 4. So Hanun seized David's men, shaved them, cut off their garments in the middle of the buttocks, and sent them away. Just totally embarrassed and disgraced them. And for what? They came to show kindness. But because the king listened to slander, this is how he responded, by embarrassing them. David was attempting to do something kind, compassionate, and this is his thank you. Verse 5, when someone came and told David about the man, he sent messengers to meet them, for they were greatly humiliated. The king said, stay at Jericho till your beards have grown, and then come back. So, not to be clean shaven was sort of a disgrace for the Hebrew men. And there they are, with their gowns cut and their beards shaved off. It was just an attempt to humiliate them, and it worked. And David, being a compassionate person that he is, you know, he said, you know, you just stay there. Don't come home until you feel comfortable. Verse 6. When the Ammonites realized that they had become a stench in David's nostril, Hanun and the Ammonites sent 1,000 talents of silver to hire chariots and charioteers from Aram Naharaim. And so they're going to go out and they're going to hire mercenaries because they know that they have awakened a sleeping giant, as it were, the way they just ticked off David and the Israelites. They know that they bit off more than what they could chew. He should have planned ahead a little bit before he embarrassed these messengers of King David. You know, the Bible says no one builds a tower unless they first consider if they have enough materials to finish the job. Otherwise, they look foolish. Well, you know, he should have thought ahead a little bit before he disgraced David's messengers. Because now he has to go out and hire mercenaries because he knows David and Israel will not take this lying down. So he hires these guys. Verse 7, they hired 32,000 chariots and charioteers, as well as the king of Maaca with his troops, who came and camped near Medeba, while the Ammonites were mustered from their towns and moved out for battle. And it says in verse 8, on hearing this, David sent Joab out with the entire army of fighting men. Look at this. You see what's happening? Look at this war that is brewing. And it's a big one. And how did it start? It started with a lie. That's the thing that sparked this. And this is just the beginning. Verse 9. It says in verse 9, the Ammonites came out and drew up in battle formation at the entrance to their city, while the kings who had come were by themselves in the open country. And so the lines are set, and it's turning into a face-off, and they're just waiting for this thing to start. 10. Joab saw that there were battle lines in front of him, and behind him. So he selected some of the best troops in Israel and deployed them against the Arameans. He put the rest of the men under the command of Abishai, his brother, and they were deployed against the Ammonites. So there are two fronts to this war. Verse 12, Joab said, "If the Arameans are too strong for me, then you are to rescue me. But if the Ammonites are too strong for you, then I will rescue you." They didn't know what to expect. You know, they did their best to prepare, but they also understood that they were going to need to be flexible, because you never know what's going to happen in the heat of the battle, and you got to shift, and you got to be ready to move. And so they are preparing for the unknown. And it would be nice if we knew the future and we could plan everything out, you know, to perfection, but that's not always the way it is. So we have to stay close to God so we know what to do in different circumstances as they arise. And the best way to know that is to stay close to God, because he will give us wisdom. Verse 12, Joab said, actually I read this already, let's go down to verse 13. "Be strong," he said, "and let us fight bravely for our people and the cities of our God. The Lord will do what is good in his sight." So they needed to be brave, and they needed to fight for the people back home, but they also were trusting in God. You see, it's not one or the other. The Christian life is trusting God and that he will do what needs to be done, but it is also being brave and working hard, or fighting hard, as the case was right here. You know, faith doesn't cancel out hard work. If faith in God and trust in God means we will work hard to do the right thing and trust God with the results. 14, then Joab and the troops with him advanced to fight the Arameans, and they fled before him. So God did give Joab and his army victory in that front of this war. And it says, when the Ammonites saw that the Arameans were fleeing, they too fled before his brother Abishai and went inside the city. So Joab went back to Jerusalem. That was it. But did you notice how these mercenaries, these soldiers for hire, as soon as the battle heated up, they turned tail and ran? You see, the Israelites were fighting for God. The Israelites were fighting for what was right, and the Israelites were fighting for the people back home. So they were very brave and ferocious in their fighting, as well as being prayerful. These other guys were fighting for money. They were hirelings. And so when the battle heated up, they took off, scared. It wasn't worth it. Verse 16, after the Arameans saw that they had been routed by Israel, they sent messengers and had the Arameans brought from beyond the river, with Shophak, the commander of Hadadezer's army, leading them. So the enemy, you know, isn't going to quit. They call for reinforcements. 17, when David was told of this, he gathered all Israel and crossed the Jordan. He advanced against them and formed his battle lines opposite them. David formed his lines to meet the Arameans in battle, and they fought against him. So round two of this war is engaged. Verse 18, but they fled before Israel, and David killed 7,000 of their charioteers and 40,000 of their foot soldiers. He also killed Shophath, the commander of their army. Now, will you look at this again? I point out to you, this bloodshed, this hardship, these people, these men had families, and they had wives, and they're all dead. And the Israelite soldiers, they had to leave home too, and they had to engage in battle. And it all began with those pathetic, ungodly advisors of the new king, Hanun, by planting spiritual poison in his mind about David. And it just exploded. No wonder slander is such a terrible sin in the eyes of God. No wonder the Bible says that we are to guard our words. Guard our words, because out of it is the wellspring of life. It's truth. It's truth. Words can do a lot of damage. 19, when the vassals of Hadadezer saw that they had been defeated by Israel, they made peace with David and became subject to him. So the Arameans were not willing to help the Ammonites anymore. They got smart. They recognized God and Israel were too big of an enemy for them. And it doesn't say that they got saved or turned to the Lord God, but you can bet they wanted to be at peace with God and his people, because the alternative would mean death. And they sure didn't want to be an enemy of God's people. Well, we'll pick it up in chapter 20 next time. Thanks for spending this time with me. This is Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. Until next time, so long, everyone.